Please pray with me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I don't know that this is an especially good title. Oh, what a nice picture. I didn't see that before. That's good. But I do love these passages, and I want to explore them with you today. I have not been to the Holy Land or to any part of the Middle East, so I cannot speak personally firsthand about cedar trees and about high and lofty mountains of Israel and Lebanon, as Ezekiel describes them. Perhaps some of you have been there, and perhaps you have such knowledge. But what I see in the poetry of the passage in Ezekiel today is that God intends for all life to flourish, both the tender and the strong, the young and the old. So look at the passage and at how God becomes the planter, how God uses God's very own hands to do the planting and nurturing. My husband would say, "Jenny, God doesn't really have hands." I would say, okay, but the Bible gives us images that we can understand, that we can envision. And the Bible's image here, God's image, is that God will plant it. Look at these, what the passage says. I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of a cedar, and I will set it out. I will break off that tender sprig, a tender one, from the topmost of its young twigs, and I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. I myself will do this, God says. Well, it's nice that God wants to do this, isn't it? To plant the sprig right there on the mountain. But remember now, this is God. This is God talking. Surely God could send a team of angels and archangels to do the work, right? Or Presbyterians, for that matter. We could do God's bidding. We've been known to do some gardening in our time. We might even have a community garden. Who knows how this would work, right? But I could just picture it. We could go out with gloves and shovels and hoses to plant and tend those seeds, those saplings. We could have a work day. We could plan it for vacation Bible school. We could have it for a session retreat. We could all go out and do some gardening. Shoot, we could call in our whole presbytery. We could have our whole general assembly get involved. But no, God says it rather plainly, I will do it myself. God is busy choosing the tender sprigs, breaking them off, planting them out on the mountain where they will grow strong. And is God talking about trees? Well, yes and no. Just like God with hands, you know, God is talking about trees, but God is also talking about people and nations, you and me, Mexican children at our borders, families and clans and nations. God will choose the sprigs, and God will set them out. God chooses life, you see, and God intends for living things to flourish. It interests me that God has chosen the tender sprig, one from the very top of the tree. That might not have been my choice. I might have selected one nearer the ground, one I could reach better, or one that had already shown some strong and promising growth. But the truth is that God can choose what is tender, what is weak, what is helpless, because God has a purpose for each of us, even the weaker ones. The ones we might overlook, the ones that might not meet our blueprint, our plan. But God is the one who chooses to bring life and to nurture it so that it will flourish. That's what God intends. Well, what is God's purpose? The passage also talks about that. It tells us, God says, I will plant the sprig in order that it may produce boughs and bear fruit and become a noble cedar. Cedar. That's near to our heart. We've got Cedar Kirk, right? The church in the cedars over there beyond Brandon at Lithia. A noble cedar. The sprig will become a full-grown tree, one that will bear fruit. You see, the sprig, as it grows into a tree, will be of use to the rest of creation. Under the cedar, God says, every kind of bird will live. In the shade of its branches, winged creatures of every kind will nest. There's the image, the metaphor. Well, I'll tell you a story about lost and found. Some of you have already heard about this. Our dog Marley, who's a rescue dog, right? We haven't even had him but about 10 months, not very long yet. He's going to have surgery tomorrow. You can pray for him. But our dog Marley had a bad day on Wednesday and got kind of scared. And being scared, he ran off and got lost. Some of you did hear about that. For about an hour and a half in the heat of the day, he was lost. We weren't just real sure where he was. Don't you think that's kind of sad? He had run and there was no way we were going to find him. Well, I could have found him, but I was somewhere else. You know, he would come to me, but was he going to come to other people he didn't know? Not on your life. There was no telling where he was or what he was trying to do for that hot hour and a half. It was here at the church. We got Belcher out this way. We got Bel Air out that way. It could have been really bad. Well, during that time that he was missing, while I was frightened and calling for him all through the neighborhood, he tore his paw pads, which are really vital for a dog and very tender. So as a result, Marley has, well, I found him, thank goodness, and he got in my car and he came home. But he has since found walking rather painful, especially on Florida's hot summer ground. The doctor said, don't let him walk. I said, well, what? Okay. He's better. But I'm telling you, I got to thinking about this passage. I would have been glad for Marley to have found a cedar tree whose branches provided shade for a dog and his torn and tender feet. That would have been a really nice thing, a gift of God. You see, that part of God's purpose for the planted sprig is to help birds live and winged creatures of every kind find shade, maybe even lost dogs who need a cool place to walk. The sprig of cedar has a purpose in its magnificent life, and in that purpose it serves the rest of creation. All of us, my friends, all of us have the purpose of being a blessing for others. We find that in Genesis, in the charge, when the call to Abraham, God says, I will bless you that you may be a blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing, to care for neighbors, to care for those who are in need. But even more than that, this is kind of a third thing. God plants, God cares for creation, God intends for life, and God has a purpose. That's number two. But number three, in the end, God is glorified. In this passage, it says, all the trees of the field, all those cedars, all the trees that grow in the field shall know that I am the Lord. That's the purpose in the end. You see, this is all about what God is doing, what God wants, what God calls us to do. After all, our God is the Lord, Yahweh, the Lord. the one whose intentions shape our lives and our world. It's not about our plans. It's not about our intentions. It's about God's. In the passage, God says, I bring low the high tree. I make high the low tree. I dry up the green tree, and I make the dry tree flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will accomplish it. God can do the impossible. The things we might think are impossible, God can do. It's about God's intentions, God's plan, God's purposes, not ours. Well, that's wonderful image and passage in Ezekiel, but we find an echo in that in the passage in Mark 4, where Jesus tells a story, a parable. A parable is a story used for teaching purposes, right? And here's the passage. The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow he knows not how. Wow. Jesus is reminding us that God is in control. Even when we act as the servants of God, doing the Lord's bidding, it is God who determines how it will turn out. Say we're set out to plant the seeds, like this farmer in Jesus' parable. Faithfully we scatter the seeds on the ground. Here I go. Let me scatter some seeds. Scatter, scatter, scatter. I might even have a bite of supper, but I'm tired. I've been out scattering seeds, so I'm going to go to bed. We go to bed, and then we get up the next morning, and then the next day we go to bed at the end of the day, and then we get up in the next morning. We sleep and rise night and day, as the passage says. Maybe during those days we water that patch of ground. Maybe we weed the garden too. But meanwhile, that seed grows in its own mysterious way. Now, I know that we know more about biology than they did back in New Testament times. We may know about the varieties of seed to use, the amounts of sunlight and water needed, the optimal humidity and temperature, the role of chlorophyll. You know, you just go on and on and on. Maybe even in Jesus' time, some folks knew more about farming than others. That's likely. But what Jesus' parable says is while the farmer sleeps and rises night and day, the seed sprouts and grows. The farmer does not know how. The earth produces of itself. First the stalk and then the ear and then the full grain in the ear. Well, it's corn, isn't it? That's what they're describing. Something good to eat or something you can feed the livestock or maybe you can use it for seed in next year's crop. It's fascinating that the farmer doesn't know how it happens. The farmer just plays a part while God takes care of the rest. And that's what it's like. You know, even when doctors do complicated surgery, they do their part. And God takes care of the rest. God takes care of the rest. So, notice that in this passage in Mark, just like in the passage in Ezekiel, there's this sense of purpose. Jesus goes on to say, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, the smallest of seeds, right? It's the way we used to wear them in necklaces. How many of you had a mustard seed necklace? Yep, it was just tiny. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, which when it grows up becomes the greatest of all shrubs, putting forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. So here's what I love about these passages, along with their beauty. First, I love that God chooses life and that God wants all life to flourish. Now, given that, we know there are limits to life. We know that each one of us, even animals and plants, will eventually die. We will come to the end of our lives. We also know that there is violence in our world. There is evil. There is sin. There is cancer and famine and drought. There is so much that threatens life. Still, life is God's plan. That's why with grace and love and wisdom, God has provided the promise of eternal life, a promise we claim today for our sister Connie. But we know and embrace that promise, all of us who are part of the Christian faith. We claim the promise of heaven for ourselves and for those we love. Thanks be to God for that promise and that gift. But even so, even knowing the promise of eternal life, most of us still seek medical care when we need it. We choose to undergo surgery or radiation or chemotherapy. We do what we can to live full and rich lives here on this side of eternity, even before we go on to heaven. In my opinion, that's what parents do sometimes in places where there is violence, like Central America. They choose to flee known terror to seek a better life for themselves and their children. God wants life, you see, and we do too. Life and safety. And God wants the people and the parts of creation to serve the good of one another, like the sprig that becomes a tree and provides shade for birds and maybe for my poor dog Marley, who got lost. Life and care for others, that's part of God's intention. In fact, what the Ezekiel text says is that God intended to create a sheltering place for all people, not just for some, not just for those who make us comfortable, not just for those who speak our own language, not just those for those who look like us. Don't you hear it in that passage? On the mountain height of Israel, I will plant that tender sprig of the cedar. I will plant it in order that it may produce boughs and bear fruit and become a noble cedar. And under it, every kind of bird will live. In the shade of its branches will nest creatures of every kind. God's talking about planting Israel. God's talking about planting the church. God's talking about people of faith and how we live. Our God is the God of all creation and of all people. And to follow Jesus Christ, we are called to love and care for all. That's why my heart has hurt so, and perhaps yours too, in this last week or so, as we have watched and still watch for children to be restored to their families here in our own country. But be clear about that one more thing, that God is in charge, not us, not you, not me, not any political leader. This is God's world, and we are called to serve that Creator and the world God has made. We will be called to account before God as to how we treat others. If we seek our own power and glory, then, my friends, we are misguided. That's not what life and faith are about. So in the end, as we handle this passage in Ezekiel and perhaps the one in Mark, we need to remember that we are the sprigs, the tender sprigs from the top, the new growth of the tree. We are planted by God's hand to live and to flourish and to provide for the life of others. God has planted us by God's own hand, and we have work to do so that in the end, God is praised. Let us pray. Lord, sometimes I get lost. Sometimes I get separated from the path that I know, the people that show me love, the place where I feel safe. Help me to find my way home. Help me to help others find their way home. In Christ, we pray today.